Welcome to the Auroville Radio, Kathy.
Thank you.
So today we've got Kathy over here, who's an Aurovillian and the co-founder of EcoFem. And we're going to be talking to her about cloth pads and everything that EcoFem is doing for Aurovillians and a lot of other women around the world. So, Kathy, how did the idea of EcoFem come about?
It came about for me when I was, when I first moved to Auroville from Australia and I was confronted with disposing of my own sanitary waste, and I was given a mumpty and pointed to some, you know, bush area and said, you can go and dig a hole over there. And it was like, you know, these moments in life where there was this like rude awakening that, wow, actually have to dig my own hole and bury this stuff. And it's, you know, I'd never even contemplated that in Australia. It was always, you know, there's this little bin conveniently placed next to every toilet, public or private toilet, and, you know, it was always just out of sight, out of mind. And here, as I'm digging this hole and kind of, you know, my body's jarred from the impact of that mumpty on that hard earth, I'm just, it was sort of like something in me vowed to find another way, you know. I just, even for my own convenience of just simply not having to do this ever again. And eventually I found a cloth pad in New Zealand about a year later, and I kind of instinctively just bought it. It wasn't even branded. It was just this little homemade thing in some really small little town in the back of some shop, and I just was like, that's what I'm looking for. It was really an immediate connect, and I bought that product and then started making them in Auroville and using them for myself. And you know, it was just, it was emancipatory for me. I just found, wow, this is incredible. I understood I'm saving money. It felt really good. It felt really wholesome to be doing this washing and taking care of myself. And I mean, I was thrilled not to be digging those holes again. And you know, that was more or less how I got into cloth pads. I started making them and selling them in Portus. And then I'd be approached randomly by women who'd say, I want to sell it in Spain. I want to sell it in the UK. And so I became an accidental entrepreneur and started making more and sending little orders here and little orders there, but it was completely under the radar and, you know, very small scale activity. I never even had a website. It was just for fun and because I believed in it. And it clicked into EcoFem as a social enterprise as it is today, probably about 10 years after starting it like that, because it was only when I was working with Auroville Village Action Group and we were then trying to find income generating activities for the women self-help group members and find little revenue streams to help keep the organisation afloat. And I learned about social enterprise from Yessaman and her husband, who just moved to Auroville, and it was like a light went on. I just loved the holistic idea of what social enterprise is and what it could do. It felt like a really healthy model that everybody was going to win, you know. So that was how we decided to really take it to another level and really work on marketing and develop the product and try to really build the market both domestically and internationally. And pretty early on we realised that the whole way in which menstruation is related to in India, you know, the complex relationship between culture and you know, education and health and environment, and this was all connected, and that menstruation was actually a sort like a portal into all these other aspects of women's health and women's relationship with her body. And we just realised we had this phenomenal opportunity in our hands to leverage what we were doing with the cloth pads to introduce education and, you know, start having conversations that were really meaningful and really important and had been really neglected in the culture.
Not been too long since I came to Auroville, and I've been seeing the posters of EcoFem almost everywhere. So you and Yasmin started EcoFem in
2010, actually.
2010.
Yes,
all
yes.
Right. So, and when did you come to Auroville?
1997.
And when you came in and EcoFem, the entire project came about, how were people disposing their pads before cloth pads came into Auroville?
Well, yeah, mostly it was burying or burning. So again, it's interesting because it's not something that you know, it's easy to sort of find out. I mean, you have to really ask, and because women typically kind of want to get rid of it and they're not much talking about it. What I learned was that the practices vary. Like I was initially given a mumpty and told I could dig a hole. So, you know, I think there were plenty of women who would do that. But it's really difficult, especially with our hard earth here. So burning is also quite common, especially in the villages. And sometimes, you know, women were also flushing them in the toilet or, you know, just tossing them into fields. And, I mean, the basic objective is just kind of get rid of it and get it out of your house. So, and in terms of our own waste, you know, they would just be mixed waste typically. And this was always really a nightmare for eco-service to deal with as well.
And how much time do the normal sanitary pads usually take to decompose?
Yeah, in fact, we don't even use the word decompose because they don't really, you know, they really break down to smaller and smaller particles, but it's estimated 500 to 800 years for one, you know. And this was where it really blew my mind because when I started to do the math, it was like, okay, so one woman would maybe use, let's say, 8 to 10 a month, and, you know, you multiply that by over a year and you multiply that by 40, which is how many years she's menstruating. And then you start looking at that in terms of an Indian population of 355 million women of reproductive age.
Oh my
goodness. And it's just staggering. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling when you think about generating so much waste from literally what's a single use and throw, pretty much plastic product. The numbers are out of this world. And we know there's no safe way to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what really motivated Yesemin and I, was really the whole environmental pollution aspect. But there's many aspects of the product that I think are interesting, but that was the one that was really pushing us hard to kind of move ahead on this.
And for how long can one pad be used?
So, again, it probably depends a little bit on how sort of ruthless you are. Like some women, I think minimum of a year for sure. You'll find over time they'll tend to get a little bit stiffer, or, you know, they may not look as pretty, you know, there's a natural sort of fading and stuff. But myself, I will typically use my pads for about 5 years. I'm maybe going more on the longer side. So 2 to 3 years I think is a fairly average.
Okay. And I think this is a cheaper option in the long run.
Yeah.
For both the environment as well as for the pocket, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's really cool about cloth pads is they tick all the boxes. You know, you're saving money, you're saving, you know, a ton of waste, really.
That is true.
I mean, they say, again, just one more statistic, that a single disposable pad has the equivalent amount of plastic of like 4 plastic bags. So, you know, think about it. It's sort of a phenomenal impact, like a single choice to switch to a cloth pad. And because of the lifespan, it's actually, you know, because of the POL layer, we say it's 75 washes. So you've got one cloth pad for 75 disposable pads. And with that ratio, you can do the math, and both in terms of waste and in terms of cost saving, it's really, really significant. And I think the other point is health as well. And, you know, the fact is that these disposable pads are full of chemicals and they're full of plastics in a really sensitive body part. And, you know, there's very little exposure around what's going into these products. There's more and more groups lobbying to reveal the ingredients, but it's largely concealed. But what we do know is that certainly the processing of bleaching the ingredients that go into making a very white sanitary napkin, this is releasing dioxin, which is one of the most toxic chemicals known to man. And, you know, many women report adverse reactions like rashes and just, you know, sensitivity. And I'm sure it's the chemicals and the plastic. So I think, you know, many women experience once they switch to cloth pads that they actually find that a lot of these symptoms go away and they have actually, you know, less, you know, their periods actually end up becoming much easier.
And a typical cloth pad, does it only constitute of cloth? Does it also constitute of, like, cotton?
Well, it is cotton cloth. The fabric that we use is pure cotton.
Okay.
It's a brushed flannel, so it's like a cotton that's been brushed to open the fibres to make it more absorbent. And there's multiple layers of it that are stitched together. The only thing that's not pure cotton, there's a leak-proof layer. The very back layer is a laminate, polyurethane laminate. It's like fused onto the back cotton layer. And that's the kind of international standard, the same what's used in cloth baby diapers. So that provides a leak-proof protection. And, you know, for many women, this is also really important. I mean, one of the biggest fears is leaking. And so, you know, having the leak-proofing, I think, is important to reassure women that the product will perform. And the button, but apart from that, it's 100% cotton. Okay. Yeah.
And the 14 of you who formed the main committee of EcoFem?
Well, it was really Yesemin and I that sort of got it started. And, you know, as we've been growing, you know, the organisation's been growing. So today we're 14 women in the office. Mm-hmm. And our operations are kind of split half between commercial and half between the non-for-profit side. Mm-hmm. So the commercial team, they're essentially dealing with customers. We market and sell the pads. We've got the pads now in about 20 countries, and I think we've got over 80 retail outlets in India as well. So over the last sort of 7 years, we've seen, you know, really quite, I think, strong growth of the commercial sales, both domestically and abroad. And then the non-for-profit side of things is we have two programs. One's called Pad for Pad, and that's reaching out to adolescent girls. So what we do there is that we leverage the sales from our international customers. They literally buy a pad for a girl in India, and we club those donations together and we offer a kit. It's four pads and a travel pouch, and it goes along with an educational session on menstruation. And we do that because we, you know, we found out pretty early on that, you know, menstruation is typically not talked about much. And so there's very poor levels of knowledge and understanding for girls about what's really happening in their bodies. So it's a really, you know, good opportunity to really go through some basic knowledge and information and some self-care techniques. You know, we talk about nutrition and personal hygiene and exercise and we offer them the cloth pad kit as a choice. And many of them are really, you know, thrilled because they really get it. Like when you really talk about, you know, the product options, like first of all, cloth pads, mostly women don't even realise there is such an option.
Is it the awareness bit or what do you think
it's, it is? It's awareness. That's the whole thing. And I guess that's the biggest part of what, I mean, our non-profit work, even our commercial work, it's all about awareness raising. You know, we spend an enormous amount of time just talking about the products and talking about why these products and, you know, what are the issues around sanitary waste. We pitch that conversation at different levels depending on who we're talking to, but there is a complete lack of knowledge. You know, women in India, actually all over the world, they don't know that there are product options. I mean, even in the West, women will typically know about sanitary napkins and tampons, but they know very little about menstrual cups or about cloth washable pads. Same in India. So we present choices. We really try to do, you know, a sort of product analysis. We help women understand there are many products available. They all have pros and cons. But let's understand what these products are, what's in them, how they're made, what they cost, what their life cycle is, and then, you know, make a choice. And with that kind of analysis, you know, we find that women are, you know, very often really motivated to switch. But with the absence of that knowledge and analysis, then they'll just default to using disposables. We've done a lot of work in Oroville in particular. I mean, we've really, in a way, Oroville has been our sort of lab for, you know, for figuring things out, for figuring out our messaging. And, you know, we've done, like, the posters that you see in all the toilets. We did, you know, we designed these here. We did sort of focus groups. We got feedback. We tried to really work a lot on our messaging. I think that, I mean, maybe what you're touching on is the really prevalent mindset, which is that, you know, the convenience of disposables. Yeah. You know, we're really bombarded, especially in TV, with messages about how, you know, convenient it is and how, you know, even words like stay free or whisper, you know, it gives you this messaging of something that's liberating and emancipatory or, you know, that it's concealed completely, whisper. So, you know, this whole, you know, media messaging around menstruation and around sanitary products, even calling them sanitary products is even interesting because they're not specially sanitary at all. It's just, again, marketing. But, you know, it's compelling messaging. And, you know, women want to, you know, kind of get through their period without any fuss and without anybody noticing.
So, and that's what the ads show them.
These ads speak right into that kind of anxiety. Maybe it even creates the anxiety in the first place. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's, you know, it's a match made in heaven. This is a problem. We've got the solution. And, of course, women, you know, eagerly buy these disposables. And I think the biggest challenge we face in our work is always, you know, hitting up against this mindset, and especially this idea of, like, you want us to go back to cloth. I mean, isn't that disgusting? Or, you know, we're too busy and, you know, it's a big burden to wash it. So then, you know, we try to explain how really it's easy to wash, and we're trying to make cloth pads appealing, you know, and so they're even a beautiful product. I mean, they're colorful and they're pretty, and
yeah, look at them. I think the packaging is really great.
Yeah,
who handles the packaging?
Again, we've had a number of designers in Oroville who have helped us on that. But for us, it's been really important to do, you know, to really communicate through this product and through our, you know, whether it's our packaging or our leaflets or posters, something that's dignified and beautiful. Because we're also trying to a little bit transform this messaging that there's something dirty and disgusting and that we want to get rid of it around menstruation. It's a whole construction that, you know, I think what we're trying to do is something quite subversive, you know, at every step of the way. Like, let's rethink how we're thinking about menstruation and kind of bring it out of the closet and make it something that can be, you know, the product's attractive, functional, aesthetically pleasing, and something that just becomes more and more normal to talk about.
And another great thing about what the organization is doing, I feel, is that you've increased employment in the villages when it comes to the village women. And how many women are working among this in the village?
So, to be truthful, that was an aspect that I hoped would sort of be a bigger impact than it has been. And what we learned was that in terms of livelihood generation, it's really not that much. And I think the reason for that is because, you know, first of all, women become very effective and efficient at making cloth pads. So, you know, unlike a fast-moving consumer good where you need them every month and, you know, you constantly need a new supply, once you've got your kit of cloth pads, you won't need them again for a couple of years. So I say it's more like a slow-moving consumer good, which means that the production impact is not super high. So specifically, I think we're probably sustaining maximum 10 women in livelihood, which is not that much. And we're producing somewhere between 7,000 to 10,000 pads a month, cloth pads. You know, and we've got like an international market and, you know, we do free pad gifting in schools and we distribute through NGOs. So we've for sure got the biggest market share of cloth pads in India. And it's 10 women who are engaged in stitching. So unfortunately, it's not the biggest impact, I don't think, is livelihood. It's great that there's some impact there, but I think the biggest impact is the product itself, you know, the difference that it makes for an individual woman, and that the difference that makes collectively for the earth, I think, is where the real impact of what we're doing lies.
And the women who do stitch the pads, has it helped? You know how the idea of menstruation carries a taboo around it, right? Has it helped to remove that? Can they talk about it more openly?
Well, I think that in general, what we know with these products, whether it's the women stitching them or any, you know, women you talk to, it needs that conversation. It's not just because a woman stitching the pad that she'll make that connect, or even, you know, that it's sort of like once you've had a conversation and, you know, and really there's been this opportunity to talk about, you know, the taboo around, you know, what we're doing, what's happening to sanitary waste, why there's a need to think about sustainability aspect of menstruation and present options, then the penny drops. And I know, for example, our tailoring women, they're really, I think, very proud of the fact now that they're really making something that has this kind of benefit and that it's going around the world and that, you know, that they're associated with something like EcoFem, which for them feels like something that they feel proud of. But I don't think that was just automatic. It wasn't a sort of default that they would feel that way. It was only because, you know, we've done sessions with them too, and we've had this same conversation with them too. You know, for them, quite frankly, you know, they're looking for a job. They're looking for money that they can go home and feed their families. So whether they're stitching a cloth pad or stitching, you know, a garment for some, you know, for whoever, normally I think that's not really having a big impact in their mind, but it's when they really have come to understand why this product and what it is and how it's touching women and girls' lives that this sense of, of sort of pride and feeling good about being associated with this has kind of really kicked in.
And when you started, like you mentioned, there are a lot of activities that EcoFem is also involved in, like going to schools and gifting kids. What, are there more activities like these?
Yeah, well, I think the way we're growing as an organisation is also through partnerships, because we'd love to see this reach out, and, you know, it's got to go beyond the walls and the boundaries of Oroville. So we do what we can here, and as I said, I think what we do in Oroville is really like we're in this sort of almost living laboratory setting where we can test things out, and we've developed our educational programs through our direct engagement with local schools in the bioregion, you know, doing sessions with rural women and through, you know, the organisations like Pachundikulam or AVAG. You know, we've worked certain stuff out through this and research. We did a lot of research in the beginning, you know, to understand basic practices. So Oroville provided this sort of opportunity to get access to women to learn and to do all of that. But now that we've kind of done a lot of that, it's sort of, you know, it becomes quite a small setting at a certain point. And, of course, we want this to reach and to spread. And anyway, we're constantly approached by organisations around the country who are also sharing our concerns. You know, they're recognising the taboo nature of menstruation, they're recognising the need for education, and they're concerned about the approach of just giving sanitary napkins to women and girls. So if they're thinking about these issues, inevitably they'll find EcoFem, because there's not many organisations who are doing what we're doing. Yeah. I think we're probably in a way a little bit unique actually. Yeah. So, you know, we really get...
Are there no other organisations in India?
Well, there are a few other organisations, you know, doing similar work. Like there are a couple of people who do produce cloth washable pads, but they primarily do it as a commercial undertaking. So they're not necessarily combining the not-for-profit activities like we are. There are plenty of organisations who are doing the not-for-profit kind of work, you know, working with women and girls. There's this whole sector of water and sanitation wash sector. And so the whole topic of education around menstruation has been really flourishing in the country, and many organisations are working on education around menstruation. There are some grassroots organisations that are neither affiliated with product or with an NGO, but they're just kind of freelance and going around and trying to spread the message about sustainable menstruation. And they're doing that through all kinds of forums, you know, whether it's markets or colleges and talking to girls in colleges and students, at corporates. So there's many entry points and many people are working at different points. I think what EcoFem's doing quite ambitiously is trying to sort of actually enter at all those different levels simultaneously. You know, we are working on every front, I guess. And so at the kind of scope of our activities is pretty diverse. I think the biggest challenge for us has been the figuring out a program and a strategy to really reach out to marginalised women, economically disadvantaged women who are not the women who will buy the commercially priced pads. We've really challenged ourselves to figure out a way to have cloth pads be an affordable product for any woman, not just women who can pay premium prices, because we think this is a universal need, obviously. And we know that the adoption of disposable sanitary napkins, even among quite poor women, is really high, and it's growing every day. They're an aspirational product. So, you know, we see that there's this fast-moving train towards adoption to disposables, and we sort of feel like we're just trying to, you know, get a little foot in the door and say, well, what about thinking of another way of doing this? So, yeah, we work a lot with partner NGOs. We've got, for example, like in Kerala, a couple of organisations partnering with us. In Odisha, there's a tribal community that are also working with us. And again, what we typically do is really tailor each program to the setting. So because it's a fairly new and sort of charted waters, we have to figure it out from scratch with our partners as we go along. So we actually have developed a whole range of tools, like, you know, baseline surveys, understand what your community's practices are, you know, how do they relate to menstruation culturally, is there water, you know, is there clean water sufficient to be able to wash a cloth pad, what kind of disposal practices do women use, to really try to understand the whole thing. And then from there, we recommend that they then invest time to do product analysis, you know, then meet your women, do a presentation where you talk about the different options and let them look at the products and feel them and ask questions and think through these costing issues, the life cycle analysis questions. And then see if they get it, then they'll say, well, I want to try the product. But you can't just push the products into women's hands. You know, you need this kind of preparatory work. So we really need partners who are committed and interested in doing that kind of legwork. And we offer a lot of hand-holding support. We're ready to go and visit them and provide training and, you know, talk on the phone as often as needed to help them figure it out, because it's also good learning for us.
Exactly.
But yeah, so half of our team are doing that kind of work. They're not really, you know, engaged with marketing and sales at all. They're just engaged with this question of how do we communicate and help women understand that there are product alternatives and why they might want to think about them and how they can then get access to them.
Plus, Ecofem provides a huge diverse range in terms of sizes and colours.
Yeah, well, we've limited the range of sizes and colours to the rural women. We've actually picked two models which we've seen are the most popular. So to give you an example, I mean, we know, for example, internationally, panty liners sell really well. And in the West, some women wear panty liners every single day of the month. You know, they just like to keep their panties clean. So we sell a lot of panty liners in our international market. We hardly sell any in India. Some, but not that many. Women in India typically prefer larger size pads. So what we've done, and again, partly to reduce the complexity because it's already complex enough, is that we've just fixed the product options for the rural women and girls to two models. One's a sort of day pad plus size all-in-one, and the other's a foldable model. And, of course, it's radio, so I can't show you the picture, but the foldable model's interesting because it's that kind of... it's a variation of a kind of traditional practice where women took old cloth and folded it. And so the traditional practice would either be to secure it with a string belt or to pin it into panties. Now, in the West, we sell hardly any. Nobody's interested in this foldable pad. But in India, women, and especially in rural communities, the women really like it because when it hangs on the clothesline, it looks really discreet. Nobody would recognise that it's a sanitary napkin. It looks like a pretty pink handkerchief or something like that. And it dries really fast. And because of this cultural sensitivity to, you know, no man should see the menstrual cloth drying, or, you know, even women don't hang their underwear outside, right? So, you know, we've sort of tried to think of, well, how can we overcome that problem? And the foldable model has turned out to be a really popular design for that reason. It still has the leak-proofing spine. It still has the foldable wings, but it's discreet. And so we offer those two products to the rural market and the subsidised range. And the commercial products, yes, we have from panty liners, day pad, day pad plus, night pad. So there's a bigger range of sizes there.
And like you mentioned, in India, women prefer wearing plus size pads,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What are the main reasons behind that?
Well, I think, again, you've almost got... I think if you look at what's going on in the West too, women, also many more women will use tampons.
True.
And they'll use plus size tampons as well. So I think, in fact, just the use of pads in the West is just typically much lower than it is in India. So it's not that I think women in India have heavier flow particularly. I don't believe that's really the issue. I think it's just, you know, cultural adaptions.
Mm.
And in India, the use of internal products is still considered somewhat, you know, uncomfortable. Women are not typically very, you know, at ease with that idea. So for that reason, sanitary napkins are, you know, going to be the most popular and already are the most popular product of choice in India, more so than they already are in the West.
Okay.
And like menstrual cups is also an interesting product too, because it's, you know, it's very eco-friendly. I mean, you just have this one product, you empty it, you reuse it. But in India, it's a really hard sell. Because culturally, women are like, "Whoa, really? You want me to put that inside?" No. And in the West, they're much more popular than, say, a cloth pad. So, I think for, you know, in India, the cloth pad thing is culturally a good fit because women are not comfortable with internal products. So then you've either got disposable or reusable pad options. So, yeah, the cloth pad is. Women connect with it, and it's not so, like they all know whether they, maybe they, especially younger women wouldn't probably even not use cloth, but they all know that their mothers or at the very least their grandmothers used cloth, and it's in everybody's living memory, this cloth thing.
Yeah.
And they somehow know the purity of cloth in a way, even though the cloths that were used may have been the most threadbare and maybe the ugliest piece of cloth in the house, but still there's this sense, I think. The thing with cloth, the problem with it, the old practice was that it didn't have the leak-proofing and, you know, this tendency for it to move around. So if women weren't going out for work and if they weren't super mobile, then, you know, they'd be more comfortable with cloth. But as, you know, especially younger generations or women that were entering the workforce more in India, then cloth became, you know, it wasn't, they're not feeling secure with cloth because, you know, what if I leak kind of thing.
That's a huge question in everyone's minds.
Because
cloth is supposed to absorb. That's true.
So that's, you know, and that's, I think, really the biggest innovation is just introducing leak-proofing and wings, you know, just it's a design element so that these, you know, concerns can be overcome. And then you've got something totally functional. And then you have to get over the ick factor, right?
Right. So are there any new activities or plans that EcoFem has for the near future?
Yeah. So right,
are you allowed to tell me?
Oh yes. No, we're actually very, very close to launching a certified, fully organically certified range. It's been a long time in the pipeline because the whole certification process takes a long time. It's a global standard, and it'll be, I think, within the month. Actually, we've planned an even launch date. I think the 17th of July we'll be launching it. So we're very excited about that.
17th of July?
Yeah.
That's
we're nice. Really on the last stretch now. Getting the packages printed and the products are ready and we're just building up our sort of readiness to launch that. So that's exciting. And then the next challenge, and we're again well underway with this, but it'll be cloth baby diapers. And again, for all the same reasons. I mean, it's disposable diapers having the, you know, it becoming more and more popular in India and an absolute nightmare to get rid of. So, yeah, we're just still sourcing a few little elements of that, the materials, but we're pretty much good to go with that too. I think we'll be also by the end of the year able to launch that range. So on the product side, that's on the horizon and we're really excited about that. And probably, again, further down the track. So I think our ultimate goal would be to look at providing a kind of well-designed cloth based alternative to everything that's currently in this single use and throw disposable sanitary product range thing, like also adult incontinence diapers and even breast pads. So we're looking at all these different products down the track. So that's on the commercial side. And of course, really continuing to, you know, just build the reach, because that is the fuel, you know, that's the money stream to help us do the not-for-profit work. And I think in India, it's just going to keep growing. I mean, I think the awareness is growing every day, and as more and more, you know, what's really interesting, I think, about this product is that it's all moving word of mouth. I mean, we, you know, we're not on TV well, we're on radio. I mean, we're on radio now. That's really nice. But for the most part, you know, this is all a grassroots movement, and I'm starting to really recognize it more as a movement. It's women led. You know, it's women's voices. It's peer to peer. You know, it's a woman making the switch and kind of joining the dots and going, my goodness, this is amazing. Why I didn't do this sooner? I mean, like I said in the beginning, it's ticking all the boxes, and she'll tell, you know, 2 or 3 or 10 friends, and we often get a little bit fanatical about it. It's like, why is not the whole world using something like this? So I'm seeing that over time. You know, this reach of this kind of product, at least this way of thinking, I don't think, you know, in 10 years' time we're going to be sort of... I mean, just seeing how fast our own, you know, brand recognition, not just cloth pads, but, you know, what EcoFem is doing as a whole, I think that's grown so fast. I wouldn't have imagined. And, you know, 5 years ago when we'd be talking about that, I used to feel like I'd sit in typically in rooms of very small audiences of women sitting like this going... you want us to go back to old cloth. It would be like, really, why should I do that? And it's easy for you, you're a foreigner, why you want to tell us such things? Mm-hmm. But now we're, you know, I felt like we were the only voices that were speaking about this. And now there's this sort of informal little army of women that are all out there just telling each other, you know, under the grapevine, you know, you really might want to think about, you know, kind of, and I think it's like getting off the grid. It's like once you're sort of free of this disposable product thing, you kind of make all sorts of inner associations. It's like, wow, just been really, you know, fed this whole consumer narrative about why, you know, I need this to conceal this terrible thing called my period. And no one should, I'm like, why? What? It's not even true, you know. And it's liberating, you know. I think... And again, I don't sort of delude myself thinking that every woman, you know, will maybe switch. I think with any innovation, you've got that bell curve thing where there's the early adopters and then you've got your sort of mainstream. And then there'll be, you know, there'll be people at the other end who, doesn't matter what you tell them, they're never going to imagine using or want to use a reusable product. I mean, and that's fine. You know, there's plenty, I think the market's really big enough. If we even manage to reach 1% of it, it'll be phenomenal. Yeah. So I think there'll always be plenty of work going forward. And, yeah, our bigger dream is to just have more and more sort of women feeling empowered to speak to this issue, not as sort of, you know, in terms of doing us EcoFem a favour, but just really finding their voice on behalf of the earth and you know, in women's bodies and women's dignity, and just feeling empowered just to speak on, you know, from that place, because it's meaningful for them to do so. That's sort of where I'm really excited and where I'm dreaming, and really investing more and more time and effort in just meeting more and more young women and helping to nurture that movement.
I'm definitely joining the bandwagon. Great. Yeah, I'm so inspired after talking to you. You've got another person who's going
to
switch.
It's so easy to inspire women. That's the thing, you know. I really feel like it's almost such a no-brainer. And, yeah, it's really something connects, I think, really quite instinctively to this. So welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Kathy, and all the best.
Thank you.
EcoFem. I hope you guys have a huge breakthrough and almost everyone joins it.
Yeah, and thanks for giving the opportunity to talk about it. I really appreciate it, especially to do it on Oroville Radio, because it's, you know, for me, Oroville has been the source of informing this whole vision. And, you know, there wouldn't be an EcoFem without Oroville. I'm absolutely convinced of that, because I think personally Oroville really gave me the chance to really develop my own integral thinking about things, to really see these connections. And, you know, of course, living in this environment where we're so sensitized to our impact and our footprint on the earth. So, you know, I think even in many ways EcoFem isn't always even understood in the outside world as connected to Oroville, I always want to speak about the Oroville roots, because for me it's completely foundational to what we're doing. So I'm more than happy to speak on Oroville Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.